The Royal Gallatin Hour, directed by Rudy Valley. Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. Tonight we bring you a brilliant array of names you know. Henry Fonda, splendid young screen star currently appearing in the motion picture Wings of the Morning, who adds a distinguished touch to our program in an original sketch by Wade Arnold. Walter O'Keefe, favorite son of the house of O'Keefe, the likable Walter gives out later with some characteristic O'Keefe nonsense. Ventriloquist Edgar Bergen, the man who talks to himself through his alter ego. Charlie McCarthy, Edgar's dummy, but one of such surpassing excellence that he has made the term a compliment. In addition to this retinue, we give you newcomers Rudy Grazzo and Albert Sullivan, and our old standbys, Judy Starr, the Gentleman Songsters, and the Connecticut Yankees. Curtain.
Gone without me, I thought you cared about me. Where are you? Where's my heart? Where is the dream we started? I can't believe we're parted. Where are you? When we said goodbye, Lord, what had we to gain? When I gave you my love, was it all in vain? All life through, must I go on pretending? Where is my happy ending? Where are you?
In the current issue of Collier's Magazine, there is an article by Quentin Reynolds about Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And that would seem to make the acceptance of Edgar as one of our better funny men official. Mr. Reynolds is a gentleman who gets around and is received in all the best boulevards from Paris Island to Paris, France, as a lad who knows what the score is. Of course, it wasn't necessary for Quentin to discover Edgar Bergen, as we saw him first. But to coin a phrase, every boost helps. Enter now ventriloquist Edgar Bergen and his dummy, Charlie McCarthy.
Well, now, that's a fine way to come to the studio, Charlie.
What's the matter?
What have you done with your face? Did you stick your head in the lion's cage?
Oh, well, no, I didn't. And you don't have to get wise about it, either.
Well, what's the trouble?
Well, I've been learning how to ice skate.
Ice skate? Well, what for?
Well, I was building myself up.
Building yourself up?
Yes.
Looks like the building collapsed.
Yeah, well, it did.
It did.
I had foundation trouble.
You did?
Yes. My ankles are weak. That's the trouble. They are so weak.
They are?
Yes. I'm practically skating on double runners all the time. Why, do you know, they were so weak the other day, I was skating for 15 minutes, and I happened to look down at my shoes accidentally, and I'd forgotten to put on the skates.
Oh, no. You're exaggerating.
No, I'm not.
So you're going to learn to skate before you use your skates?
That's the idea.
Either. Well, I'm afraid that's going to be a little far.
No, it's the truth, honest to goodness.
It is.
So, help me.
Yes.
And another thing, yesterday I went to have my skates sharpened, see?
Yes.
And the man says, well, these skates haven't been on the ice. They haven't been used.
Oh, my.
So I had him sharpen my ankles instead.
Well, Well, then I don't suppose you can play hockey.
Well, I can play hockey, but I need someone to hold me up.
I see.
Well, I don't know. I don't go much for winter sports. Give me the summer every time.
Yes.
Up in Michigan on Grandma's farm, that's where I love it. I'm a tiller of the soil at heart.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'll bet you're a great help to your grandmother.
Yes, I am. I really am, too, yes.
You are?
Mm-hmm. Well, I bring home the cow, and I collect the eggs. There's about 15 eggs a day.
Is that right?
Yeah, of course, we have 120 hens.
120? Well, that isn't a very good average.
No, we got a lot of chislers in the flock. Yes.
What else do you do?
Well, now last summer, Grandma wanted a tree planted on the south side of the house, you see, for shade.
For shade?
Mm-hmm. So, I dug the hole for it, see?
Yes.
Dug and dug and dug and dug and dug. You know, once I get started, there's no stopping me. Second day, I was out of sight.
Out of sight.
Still digging.
Yes.
Third day, I struck coal.
Coal?
Yes.
Well, well.
So I sold coal to Grandma for 10 cents a bushel. I gave her a good price.
You certainly did.
I could have held out for more, but, you know, Grandma's such a good kid, you know. Well, kid, you know.
Well, that must have made her happy.
Oh, it did. It really did. That is for a while. But she certainly burned up when she found out I had dug into her coal bin in the basement.
Well, of course, we all make mistakes.
Yes, but she says I abuse the privilege.
Oh, she does. She must be a nice sort of a person.
I'd like to have you meet her sometime. You like the country?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you must come up.
Yes.
Lovely up there.
Yes. I enjoy riding.
You mean horseback riding?
Yes. You have a horse?
Yeah, Grandma has a horse.
Yes.
Yes, she has, yeah. Of course, it's 15 years old.
Oh,
what a piece of horseplay. And is she lazy?
Is it?
Oh, that horse is so lazy. On Saturday afternoon, when we want to go to town for groceries, we have to look half-starved or she won't even budge.
Is that so?
Yes. Why, if you go out for a 5-mile canter, your clothes are out of style when you get back.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
I'm afraid you're exaggerating.
Yeah.
Why don't you use spurs on a horse like that?
Well, I have a spur.
A spur?
Yes.
Well, you should have one on each foot.
Yeah, well, I have one. I figure if you can get one side going, the other will follow. But as slow as that horse is, I did get arrested for speeding.
Now, don't tell me that.
Yes, I did.
Arrested for speeding?
Yes, I did. You see, I drove to town one day, and the constable in Decatur, he arrested me.
No.
I was doing a terrific 12 miles an hour.
No, no. I don't believe that, Charlie.
Well, it's true.
I don't believe it.
No.
I'm sure you're allowed to go 12 miles an hour.
Yeah, but not on the sidewalk.
Oh,
Well, Fife, you know, that constable, he had it in for me ever since last summer. You know, he carries a grudge,
yes.
You see, we Boy Scouts, we had a model airplane show, you know.
Yes.
And he was one of the judges.
Oh, I see. Then you build model airplanes?
Oh, sure. You never saw it?
No.
You have some kids. And I had my airplane there, you know, right in front of the judge's stand. A swell spot.
Yes.
There I was with my bomber.
Yes.
180 rubber bands, yes. Wound extra tight.
Extra tight,
yeah.
A load of dynamite,
yes. But in my excitement, I wound the thing the wrong way.
The wrong way.
Yeah.
Looks like trouble ahead.
Yeah, but it didn't go ahead.
Oh, it didn't.
The thing, I let loose of it, and it flew backwards, and it crashed in the judge's face.
Oh.
Well, he was disfigured, and my plane was disqualified, and I was disgruntled.
Here with some sage counsel from our amiable Graham McNamee. Thank you.
in September, in the rain. The sun went out just like a dying ember. That September in the rain. To every word of love I heard you whisper, the raindrops seem to play a sweet refrain. Though spring is here, to me it's still September. That September in the rain.
Company of Hollywood stars is our next guest this evening. A Broadway actor of distinction before he went celluloid, Henry Fonda is reckoned a player of fine sympathy and talent. Currently starred in the motion picture Wings of the Morning, he has a notable list of successes to his credit. Tonight you will hear Mr. Fonda in an original one-act playlet by Wade Arnold, The Turning Point. With him you will hear Miss Sylvia Field, a charming little Broadway actress whose talent has graced this hour many times before. Introducing now Mr. Henry Fonda and Miss Sylvia Field. It is an afternoon in June, and a mellow breeze blows gently across the tree-clad campus of a college somewhere in the Middle West. It is commencement day, and a boy and girl, still in cap and gown, are sitting on the college bench, sharing a tender moment of goodbye.
Gosh, Lonnie, I still can't quite believe it.
I know. I have to keep telling myself over and over, school's out.
Yep, out. Washed up, the end of the book.
Sorry.
For only one reason.
Tell me.
Do I need to?
No, Ben, I know it.
It isn't going to be easy, for me anyway.
Well, we won't be seeing each other quite so often, maybe.
Well, can we at all?
Oh, Ben, what's 30 miles? Even if you go home, you'll be coming into town. It isn't as though you lived 1,000 miles away.
No, might as well be China.
Why?
With school out, how can we see each other without always having to invent some kind of an excuse?
Excuse? Why?
Got any better ideas?
Much.
What?
How about just walking up to my front door for a change and banging the knocker?
And asking for you?
Why not?
Yeah, I've got a penny postcard picture of my doing that. Excuse me, Mr. Frazee, I'm that poor farmer's kid from down south of town. Could I trouble you to call your daughter, please? I've got a date with her.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I sort of figured maybe your old man might have a squirrel gun.
Afraid of it?
A little.
Dad's a bum shot.
I'm a bum dodger.
It'd be nighttime, you know.
Yeah, I've been run out of watermelon patches at night. Bacon rind doesn't soothe your hide any better in the dark of the moon than it does in broad daylight.
Maybe you shouldn't have run.
Maybe I shouldn't have gone snitching watermelons in the first place.
My, my, the boy's yellow after all.
You said it.
Ben, you aren't serious a little, are you? I mean, you don't really think...
If your dad would take kindly to your going with a poor farmer's kid, what do you think?
Why should he care?
Oh, Lorne, when you're on top, you must see over things. When you're on the bottom looking up, you can't miss them.
What could he say?
Plenty. Some of it wouldn't bear repeating. If you want to hear the mildest, oil and water don't mix.
Then why did they let us go to the same school? Why throw us together every day for years?
I know, that's the tough part.
I still don't see it.
All right. Have you ever told your dad about us?
No, but...
Does he know you're here with me now?
No.
When you get home, you're going to tell him?
Why should I?
There, you see. Ah, dang it all, anyway.
Dang.
Oh, what'd you do it for?
Do what?
Pick the biggest house in town to get born in.
I'm sorry. If there was anything I could do about
it. Did you get rid of your old man's money? Burn it or something?
Why bother to hear him talk? That's what I do now.
Well, from all I hear, he's still got enough for pork and beans, and his fingers are plenty sticky, too.
Why blame me for that?
I'm not blaming anybody. That's the trouble. You never can blame anybody for the darndest things. They just happen.
Then let's climb down off our log and stop grousing about it. What do you say?
He's grousing.
Oh, you're mighty thin-skinned, Ben, aren't you? Daddy always said you folks, I mean tenant farmers like your mother and father, are the touchiest crowd alive.
That's why we're poor. We're touchy.
Maybe.
And why your old man's filthy with it. He isn't so touchy.
Boy, are you spoiling for a fight? Well, you're laying your chips on the wrong shoulder, son.
Scared of me?
No. I kind of like you.
Rich or poor, I sure know one thing. You're the sweetest girl in five counties.
Oh, Ben.
Whoever thought I'd see the day when I could talk like that to a girl?
Look, Ben.
Yeah?
Off there. Isn't it pretty? The sunset shimmering through those elms.
It'll do. You know, Lorne, I used to come down here to that grove when I was a little kid. When the folks used to bring me into town, I'd sneak off here to play a game with myself, seeing things up there in the leaves and shadows. People and houses and steeples and... That's no game for me to play.
No, Ben, go on, please.
What's the use? My dream's so far away, I can't even get close to it.
Have you tried?
Me, a tenant farmer's boy, having dates with old man Frazee's daughter. That's funny,
Ben.
Lord. Am I crazy or something?
You want me to go home now?
No.
Shut up, Ben. I wish I had that squirrel gun here right now. I'd take it to you myself.
She's a mean woman.
We've gotten to know each other pretty well this year, Ben.
I know we have, darn it.
Is that nice?
Oh, I don't know, Lonnie. It's only... Lord, what do you think it is that's tearing me to pieces? I shouldn't have been in school this year at all. I know what it's meant to the folks that keep me here. They don't own their own place, you know. They needed me. But, well, they wanted me to get all the school and I could, but... You know why I really stayed?
Mm-mm.
Of course you do. For those little glimpses I caught of you between classes.
Oh.
For those walks to chapel, for those notes we used to sneak each other under the table and study hall.
I know, Ben.
Okay, then.
Are you willing to say it's all over?
No.
What are you going to do about it?
What can we do? You'll go back to your big white house on Broad Street. I'll go back to the farm and start grubbing.
Ben, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going back to that farm.
No?
No. I've got some news for you. Good news.
You've been mighty close-mouthed about it.
I wasn't sure how you'd take it. But now that I've let you speak your little piece, I don't care. You'll take it my way and like it. You're going to stay right here and go on to graduate school.
What?
You are, Ben. Beginning summer term in the School of Business.
You go to grad? Did you feel all right?
I never felt better in my life.
But, Lonnie, that's fantastic. It's impossible.
It isn't. It's easy.
What in the sun would I use for money?
Scholarship.
Oh, I see. I just walk up to the dean and
you
I...
You know, Ben, listen to me. It happened this noon when I was passing the bulletin board. The notice had just been posted. 5 new scholarships in commerce for 5 men from this year's class. 4 tuition and a little extra. Now, what do you think of that?
Boy. Oh, Lorne, you dreamed it.
I saw it, I tell you. There I stood reading words on a notice. Then all of a sudden it hit me, like the side of a church. Glory to Betsy, that's for Ben.
Oh, no, Lorne, it couldn't be.
Why not? All you need is a recommendation from Dean Farnham.
What makes you think he'd give it to me?
Weren't you an honor student? Has anybody a better claim? Boy, I bet you had the best record of any commerce major in school.
I don't think you're a fair judge.
I don't need to be. My man's too good.
Sweet Jenny, think of it.
Wouldn't it be great?
Oh, yes. But, well, how about my folks?
Don't think you're so darned important. They got along somehow before you ever showed up, didn't they? Give them a chance.
Boy, I gotta admit, it sure sounds good.
Will you try, then? When will you see the dean?
Gosh, Lonnie, if you're willing to want me to.
I want to tell you something. I love you, Dave.
Lorne. Yes. First time you said that.
But didn't you ever have just a tiny little bit of a suspicion?
Yeah, sure, but you just never used the word. If that's how you feel about it, kid, I'll get that scholarship. I'll get it if I have to knock the old dean down and take it away from him. Oh, with a graduate scholarship, I could learn a profession, Lorne. I could hang out my shingle someday. Then
the big white house wouldn't seem so big, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Maybe my folks have been stuck to the soil, but it's been my mind that was tied.
Right. And we're going to tear it loose.
Oh, Lorne, you're grand. But wait, though.
Yes, sir?
Well, there's one other thing I wonder if you're forgetting.
What's that?
With a scholarship, it means 3 more years, Lorne. Have you thought of that?
I'll wait.
Partner, shake.
Shake.
And when I get through, we'll get away from this place.
You bet we will.
I'll get a job. We'll fight the best of them, toe by toe. Yes, sir, by George, I'm beginning to get ideas.
Dad, I dream.
It's a dream now, but believe me, we're going to make it real.
WEAF, New York.
The second act of the Royal Gelatin Hour with Walter O'Keefe, Albert Sullivan, and Rudy Grazel waiting in the ring. Teeing off now with a little frothy thing entitled Swing, Swing, Mother-in-Law. Welcome back, our little singer, Judy Stott.
Swing, swing your mother-in-law. One swing, dear mother-in-law. He's already put your fine silk and take it. So swing, dear mother-in-law. Don't stop to powder your nose. Just hop away from my toes. You get the beat on any floor, you get the beat on. Come there, the crump of the floor. Grandpa taught you to be turkey and it's all cut. Oh, my mother-in-law, thanks to have ridden the Lord. Don't let her wake up when the band begins to break up. Swing, mother-in-law. Thank you.
paraphrase the words of an esteemed colleague, valued friend, one Colonel Lemuel Stupnagel, people are more interesting than anybody. Because of this, we have given a good deal of thought to the personalities we have brought here on Thursday evenings for interviews. It is, we like to think, a distinguished company, and tonight we add to it the name of one of the better mixologists of chocolate malted milk that there is in the length and breadth of this land. In fact, this is the which of which then there is no picture. For quite a few years, he has stood behind the glistening marble counter of our Radio City drugstore, dispensing everything from Bromo Seltzer to hot fudge sundaes with double fit cream for the great and near great of the air. Ladies and gentlemen, meet the soda man extraordinary, Mr. Albert Sullivan.
Fine talk.
What fine talk?
The malarkey you were just spreading. I thought the boys told me you were an old soda man yourself.
So I am. I used to work at my father's drugstore at Westbrook, Maine. In fact, I started there when I was 7 years old. What's that got to do with it?
Well, what's the idea of pulling all those four-bit speeches on me? To paraphrase the words of an esteemed colleague. You never learned that in any drugstore, no matter who ran it.
But Mr. Sullivan, I learned other things that you soda jockeys don't know much about today.
What's that? How to play Hamlet on the saxophone?
Now listen, that's beside the point.
It's a little crude, I'll admit.
What?
A little crude, but tell me, Rudy, what did you learn?
Well, I learned how to chop 18 pails of ice at 7 o'clock in the morning and another 18 pails at 11 o'clock at night.
At 7 years of age, that is a full quota of chopping. But don't think you have anything on me. I've been in the soda business 20 years. B-E-R.
B-E-R?
Before electric refrigeration. And I've seen it come from the chocolate milkshake stage to a full-course dinner with buttered noodles on the side.
Well, Sully, that may be something, but I know that in my day I took more than a little pride in my banana split.
Ah, banana split. Weren't they something? That's the trouble with the business nowadays. No imagination. Most of the customers are just setters or pointers.
Setters or pointers?
Sure. Take the setters, for instance. They come in and sit down. And you go up to them and say, what'll it be?
And what do they say?
Most of the time, they just say, huh?
What do you do then?
Then I suggest things. But you always end up by burning one or freezing one.
Burning one or freezing one? What does that mean?
I see. They didn't go in for that stuff up in Maine. Burn one is a malted, and a freeze one is a frosted. You know what a billiard is?
Why, of course.
What is it?
Well, it's when the cue ball meets the two object balls.
Oh, no. Behind the stick at a soda fountain, it's a glass of beer.
That's very interesting. But tell me, you explained what a setter is. Now about a pointer.
A pointer is a fellow who comes in, sits down, sticks out his finger and says, give me a cup of coffee and a piece of pie, Jack.
And what kind of pie is it that he points at?
Apple. Always apple. You'll never catch one of those Jaspers going for anything like the coconut custard.
Oh, no imagination.
That's what it is. Even the radio star.
Yes?
Sure. Take yourself, for instance. Every time you come into the store, somebody tags you with a double OJ.
A double OJ?
A double orange juice. That's what you always order, isn't it?
I'm afraid you have me there, partner. What do some of the other fellows order?
Every Saturday night before he goes on the air, Joe Cook comes in and gets a plate of soup and a dish of vanilla ice cream.
Is he funny?
There's nothing funny in a plate of soup and a dish of vanilla ice cream. So Joe don't give up. He needs the four Hawaiians for that funny stuff.
How about Ben Burney? Is he a customer of yours?
He sure is, and one of the best. Tuesday is his calling day. He comes in, has a sandwich, a cup of coffee, lights a cigar, takes four or five puffs and leaves it on the counter. There's one thing about him, though, that I can't go for.
Yes? What's that?
He's given me an awful expensive taste for good cigars.
Well, such are the exigencies of your profession, Mr. Sullivan.
Oh, and Judas disease, Mr. Valley.
What is that, Mr. Sullivan?
I said, in Judas disease, Mr. Valley, in Judas disease.
Well, that's what I thought you said, Mr. Sullivan. That's what I thought you said.
afraid of love. It's something we sing about. I haven't the slightest doubt that life without it is cold. Who's afraid of love? What else are we living for? How can anyone ignore the sweetest boy that's told? Those who found love know nothing more sweet to hear than the sound of I love you, you love me. So who's afraid of love? It's of which dreams are made, and dreams can't make me afraid. Who's afraid of love?
We recently came upon a young man in the Crystal Garden of New York's Frank Ritz-Carlton Hotel. He's one of the outstanding hits of the nightly show held there, which is quite a jump for a fellow from the Austrian Tyrol, even if he is a mountain climber in his off moments. His name is Rudy Grazzo, and he imitates vocally just about every musical instrument there is while playing his own accompaniment on the piano. He doesn't use his hands for any of the instruments he imitates, while it may sound as though he has a 20-piece band concealed someplace in his larynx, you can take my word for it, he hasn't. Ladies and gentlemen, Rudy Grazzo.
Good evening, Rudy. To you too, Rudy.
That, it would seem, takes care of that. What particular instrument have you decided to pick on first tonight?
I will just pick on the Hawaiian guitar, but not with my fingers. Mandolin. Now, the dance band. Thank you. And a little Tyrolean band that plays in the beautiful mountains of my native country.
Novelty is our next guest tonight. in the sense that his name is a new one to you all. But there is a freshness to the Wazzle Pete nonsense that makes it forever new. Wazzle is a keen young man with an insight into the exaggerated foibles of certain types of people. Were he not an expert monologist, the O'Keefe might have been an expert caricaturist. Introducing now that gay caballero of the flying trapeze, Mr. Walter O'Keefe.
Thank you, Rudy, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, all over the length and breadth of the land. Indubitably, it's great to realize... pronunciation begins at 40. Indubitably, it's great to realize that spring is just around the corner. We did our spring cleaning this week. The government sent a man up from Washington to help. By the time he mopped up, we were cleaned out. Of course, I know that the warm weather officially starts March 21st, but it's on March 15th, income tax day, that everyone starts taking things off. I took so much off that I felt like a fan dancer. And I might remark that I'm happy to have this little job tonight. My inactivity got to be a little embarrassing at home. Not that my wife said anything. Oh, no. Nor her mother. Oh, no. Nobody said a word, but somebody taught the baby to bring me in the want ads every morning. And another kid trick the baby has, he's two now. He wakes me up at such an early hour. Every day he comes in at noon and pulls the covers off. He has such cute expressions like, why don't you work, Daddy? I tried my best to explain to him that in the field of creative endeavor, living in an artistic world such as I inhabit, there are inevitably temporary lapses of activity such as I am experiencing at present. And then the little darling looked up with that sweet face full of understanding. And he said, oh, behind the eight ball, eh, Pop? But don't take me seriously about this, because a job really doesn't mean any more to me than my right lung. And another reason I'm glad to do this little job tonight is because it enables me to put a little aside for my social security. Sure, I'm going to give Rudy 1% of all I make here tonight. Anybody here got change for a dime? I see you paid your tax, too. Well, my uncle belonged to the Social Security group. He was number 43765. But last week in a store, they caught him trying to... Well, his number has been changed to 897, cell 3. Now he's sure of having a home in his old age. See, I haven't had much of a chance yet to put anything aside for my Social Security, and if things don't improve, whatever I get when I'm 65 will be just about enough to buy oil for my wheelchair. You know, tonight I've enjoyed everything on the program. Edgar Bergen, you take that fellow Rudy Grassel, the one-man band. I think he's got something there. And I wish you people listening in could have seen the worried look on the faces of the boys in Valley's band. There was one man doing everything they do, and I think a little bit better. You know, I think Valley would like to lead a one-man band. It would simplify things for him. If Mons Valley got into a pugnacious mood, and rumor has it that he is nothing loath to swinging a festive fist every now and then, well, if Rudy got into an argument, he could invite his whole band out into the alley and punch him in the nose. I'm also glad to be in the program with Al Sullivan, the ace soda dispenser. Rudy's going to return the compliment next week and make a guest appearance behind the fountain. I used to be a soda jerker up in Hartford years ago. I was the fancy, the flashy type. Wish you could have seen the way I threw the glasses up in the air. Of course, I never caught any. But I was especially good at tossing a ball of ice cream up in the air. I used to catch that. Naturally, the customer never knew I caught it on the first bounce. This is too good. I also enjoyed Henry Fonda very much tonight. I saw him in The Trail of the Lonesome Pine, the hillbilly picture. You know, in a way, I'm a little bit like Henry Fonda. Don't hoot now. We both have a great love for the soil, the good earth. They call me Wang. And
Now with spring here, I'm devoting a lot of time to my garden. What a thrill to have a rake and a hoe in my hand again. Of course, I haven't got a big garden. It's just a box of dirt in the living room. I started it last week. I planted some yellow seeds and some squash came up. Then I planted some green seeds and some asparagus came up. Then I poured some water over it and the janitor came up. And by the way, don't you be surprised one of these days if you see me in the movies like Mr. Fonderwood. It looks as if I'll go to Hollywood soon. A while ago, I took a test for pictures and they said that they'd let me know. Well, this morning they called up and they want me to take another test. The fellow explained that they've got talking pictures now. I'm being considered for a part now. It's a toss-up between two of us. They can't make up their minds whether to take me or George Isles. And when my picture comes out, you can bet one thing, they're never going to show that picture on a double feature day, you know? No, sir. With me in it, they're going to show just one picture and have double bank nights. To be honest, I've been in Hollywood before. I played opposite Greta Garbo. She was in the studio across the street, and... You know, it's a funny thing about Hollywood, the way they imitate out there, you know? When one company does something, they all follow. Everything goes in cycles. One season, they're all making gangster pictures. Next season, they're all making musicals. This season, they're all making pictures without me in them. And, of course, it's incredible. It's wonderful what a Hollywood makeup man can do. I had an experience. They went to work on me, and they made me look so young that a nurse put a pink dress in me, stuck a bottle in my mouth, and rushed me off in a baby carriage. So if in one scene of their next picture, you see six quintuplets, look for me. I'm the one with my arms around the nurse smoking a cigar. But enough of this chatter. I now want to sing a song that touches the heart of every American at this time of year. Rudy Grassel and his one-lip band will accompany me, assisted by Rudy Valley and his Connecticut Yankees. Life is a game where fate throws the dice. I didn't cry when I paid the price. Though I have got dependents galore, I can deduct just two and no more. Oh, this year's income taxes don't seem as sweet to me. This year's tax just misses what taxes used to be. With such fine finance, no one seems to stand a chance, even helped by Mr. Moon above. This year's income taxes are not for me, 'cause I'm still wearing last year's suit. Or you can't take it with you and you can't have it here. Then in walks a guy from Washington and he says, now listen here. You sing songs and you make love dandy. You make swell molasses candy. But honey, are you making any money? That's all I want to know. So I'll be in the bag always, hiding in the dark hallway. Not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, but always. Come Dick, Moe, and Mac, everybody pays the tax. Uncle Sam's dependent on us all. This year's income taxes have busted me, but I still got my baby back. Good evening, friends. Thank you.
My Little Buckaroo. The Western successor to Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day. Originally sung in the Warner Brothers picture, Cherokee Strip, by Dick Foran. My Little Buckaroo. Close your sleepy eyes, my little buckaroo. While the light of western skies is shining down on you, don't you know it's time for bed? Another day is through. So go to sleep, my little buckaroo. Don't you realize, my little buckaroo? It was from a tiny acorn that the oak tree grew. And remember, Buffalo Bill was once a kid like you. So go to sleep, my little buckaroo. Soon you're gonna ride the range like grown-up cowboys do. Now it's time that you were round in a dream or two. So go to sleep, my little buckaroo. Bergen and Charlie McCarthy heading a list of colorful people we hope you'll enjoy. It begins to look as though the gentleman songsters and I were going to be regular commuters between here and Miami Beach, Florida. This coming Saturday evening, we'll entertain at the West Flagler Greyhound Track, Sunday and Monday at Mr. Jack Dempsey's Club, then back to New York, and our Thursday hour with you. The Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
Selections heard on this evening's program were yesterday from Jerome Kern's Roberta, This Year's Kisses from On the Avenue, and Where Are You from Top of the Town. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
PM, BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time, WEAS, New York.